We must migrate to the cloud, the CIO declared. Public cloud or private, we cannot be impaired. It'll make things more efficient. It'll reduce all IT costs. When we migrate to the cloud, our data will never be lost. But the CIO had been seduced by buzzwords. He knew concept, but not direction. While the cloud gives you redundancy, that's only part of data protection. If a mailbox database is corrupted, or a user drops a table, if a software update is released that makes the server unstable, when servers start to break, when applications start to crack up, even in the cloud sometimes you need to restore from backup. In this TechEd session, you'll learn about defending important data, how to automate protection with System Center Orchestrator. I like to start things a little unusually, and that certainly will get your attention. You'll notice I'm carrying a Kindle. I'm very cross-platform, but I use this to actually have my speaker notes. The other thing you will notice is that I do my demos through Camtasia, and that's very important when you're doing data protection and recovery, just because otherwise my demos would take about 4 hours. So I've compressed them. There's no little waiting for hourglasses. So, but the practical upshot for you is if you're interested in getting a copy of all of my demos, I'll put them up on SkyDrive. Just message me at Twitter and I will post you the link. So, why do you need data protection in the private cloud? Now, the obvious answer to that is even with the super duper highly redundant technologies employed in the private cloud, local data center, or even in your server room, you still need a data protection infrastructure. Now, the best way of protecting Microsoft workloads on Microsoft operating systems is System Center Data Protection Manager. The best way of automating data protection is Orchestrator 2012. In this session, what we're going to do is we're going to look at some common private cloud backup workloads. I'll show you how you can use the Data Protection Manager integration pack for Orchestrator to automate data protection. I'll show you how then to use DPM and Orchestrator with System Center Service Manager so that you can fully integrate automated protection and recovery into your workflows. Now, a private cloud is not just a bunch of virtual machines running across a big collection of virtual machine hosts. Cloud computing is about as much about service management as it is about the infrastructure technologies involved in it. The ultimate aim, as my fellow TechEd speaker Mark Rhodes said, is to provide turnkey operation, reduced management, and faster deployment. Which brings up some interesting points about data protection, because the myth is out there that using a private cloud means that you just don't have to think about data protection. Generally, in terms of hardware, when you're building up a private cloud, you only have to worry about what you'd call a black swan data protection event. Black swan event is something that's completely unforeseen. In the case of a recent outage of Amazon and Microsoft in Ireland, that was a lightning strike hitting a transformer. Now, I'm not talking about a lightning strike hitting Optimus Prime, but what happened was a lightning storm hit a transformer, took out the power, and they lost. Amazon lost EC2, and Microsoft lost some of its BPOS capacity. But those are very rare, but they should have had some sort of way around it. However, chances are, unless Megatron actually lands in your data center, the private cloud fabric itself isn't going to be something that you're going to have to replace. You design your private cloud fabric with the idea of component failure. So that's not what we're necessarily talking about here. Now, it is possible to perform bare metal disaster recovery and to even automate bare metal data center disaster recovery with the right System Center tools in place. And that's something I'll cover right at the end of the session. Now, it's important to remember that even if it's in the private cloud, you're still running essentially traditional workloads. Cloud apps still use SQL Server databases. They still have IIS components. From a backup perspective, web applications, with all of their tiers, are just collections of files and databases. Now, some organisations deploy Exchange to their private cloud, but just because you've configured Exchange with database availability groups doesn't mean that you necessarily don't have to think about still backing up Exchange, because there are compliance requirements that you have to meet, and those aren't met just by having a DAG, because a DAG only has a certain amount of retention period before you can only have a database availability group lagged to a certain amount of time. If you need a 5-year retention window on your email, that's not going to happen with a DAG. Just because it's a cloud does not mean it's as important or you have to think about it any differently to how it's sitting on a branch office server or the server room down the corridor. And data protection just does not go away just because everything's all buzzwordy and cloudy. A buzzword is not going to recover your data if some enterprising idiot manages to drop a bunch of tables on an important SQL database. A private cloud will not protect your organisation that gets infected with malware. A private cloud will not protect you from application errors that cause corruption. Applications, even those not infected with malware, sometimes manage to chew up data just as well as a disk failure does. Now, who here has not had an application where you've applied a relatively benign update and then had to spend the next few hours restoring and rebuilding even though it should have all gone perfectly? Anybody here never had that experience? No, exactly. So you need to think about automated data protection because the majority of data restore scenarios today are not driven by hardware failure. They're driven by application errors and user-driven events. And a user-driven event is just a clever way of saying something, one did something terribly, terribly stupid. Now, I just want to jump across for a moment and discuss this issue of blue-collar versus white-collar IT. Systems administration as a profession has involved an ongoing move to fewer and fewer systems administrators managing more and more systems, which is why we're always a bit worried about our jobs, because we're seeing that one person is managing more and more systems. This is because one of the biggest ongoing costs in IT is paying systems administrators. Orchestration and automation are going to increase the number of servers that a single person can manage. For example, if you think about onboarding a new user, when you onboard a new user, you need to do a bunch of clicking to set up their account, a bunch of clicking in something like Forefront Identity Manager to set up their smart card, a bunch of clicking to provision their mailbox, a bunch of clicking to deploy their desktop and the relevant applications that need to go with their role, and a bunch of clicking to ensure that all of that is configured with data protection so that anything that they generate as part of their job, all that data, is actually protected. In the next 10 years, we'll see two types of IT pro job, grunt work job and highly skilled jobs. Now, a grunt work job, also known as a blue-collar job, is relatively low-paying. It involves things such as walking through a data centre with a cart, replacing hard drive. A white-collar IT job is someone who builds automation, someone who takes all of those steps required in user onboarding, puts it into a self-service form, so someone in the HR department can literally go, this is the new person, this is their role, submit. The automation does all the back-end stuff, provisions their computers, builds an image for them, provisions Exchange, provisions data protection, provisions Active Directory, provisions the server groups. The only thing that needs to happen from an IT perspective once that automation is built is someone needs to go and physically put a desktop on that person's, a computer on that person's desktop and allow the image to drop. White-collar IT jobs will be the jobs that build the automation that gets everything working. And a whole lot of people who are doing the clicking jobs are going to be replaced by one person who is awesome at building automation. So if there's something that you should take away from this year's Tech Ed, is to see that the path ahead for systems administrators will be a lot easier for those who embrace automation, embrace products like Orchestrator, than those who ignore it and only concentrate on the underlying tools. So, who here is familiar with System Center Data Protection Manager? Cool. Who here has been to one of Jason Buffington's sessions in previous decades? You don't know. Jason was the DPM guy who used to come across from Corp and talk about Data Protection Manager. Now, Data Protection Manager includes protection for the primary Microsoft workloads, Exchange, SQL, SharePoint, Dynamics, Hyper-V, Vista, Windows 7, Active Directory file services, full machine bare metal recovery. DPM allows you to do a backup snapshot every 15 minutes. Primarily, it stores its data on a disk array, but can also be used to export to tape. DPM 2010 also supports DPM to DPM server replication, whether that DPM server is hosted locally in another data center or even sitting in the cloud. There's a company called Iron Mountain, and you can do local DPM replication up to there. DPM to DPM also supports failover. So literally, if one of your DPM servers fails, everything goes on to the other DPM server automatically. With DPM, what you've got is you've got a data protection agent, and it's a single bit of software that goes out and detects what roles and features are actually installed on the computer that the DPM agent is installed on. The only difference is licensing. So with a standard DPML, you can protect Active Directory and Windows file services. With an enterprise DPML, you protect pretty much everything else. And there's also a client DPML. All the same bit of software, it just goes out and it reports back to DPM and says, this is what licenses you actually need. It'll protect it, but you've got to go and then provision DPM with the appropriate licenses. A single DPM 2010 server can protect 100 production servers, 3,000 Windows clients, 2,000 SQL Server databases, 25 terabyte SharePoint farms with over 1 million objects, 40 terabytes of Exchange storage groups and databases. A recent case study on DPM at Microsoft found that Microsoft had, within quick recovery, 3.5 petabytes of data running across 80 DPM servers. And that's to give you an idea of how DPM scales into large organisations. You can deploy the DPM agent, the bit of software that runs with DPM and interacts with the DPM server, through Active Directory, System Center Configuration Manager, part of an image, or push it from DPM. Agent deployment is not just a matter of installing the agent. You actually have to establish a relationship once the agent is installed with a particular DPM server. And the reason for that is it just doesn't talk to any DPM server. It establishes a relationship with a particular DPM server because that's where it's going to back up its data and that's where the differential backups are going to go. Okay, so what I'm going to do now is show you the first of my demos. And this is just a quick DPM attach agents demo. So what's happening in this demo is that the agent software is already installed on a bunch of computers. And what I'm going to do is go out to those computers and attach them to the DPM server and say, this DPM server is going to manage that. Now, part of why I'm showing you this demo is this is how DPM works, but I'm also showing you the steps that are actually involved, the click, click, click steps, and how many steps are actually involved when it comes to configuring something like this. Because the ultimate aim of this session is to show you how simple it is to automate this process so that the number of steps is substantially reduced. Because if you're looking at a private cloud situation, you want to have this as automated as possible and as self-service as possible. So this is what's happening here is these agents have been connected and now they're being upgraded on the server. So that's a traditional agent deploy on DPM, an agent connection. So all of those agents are now installed. Now, installing it that way, as you saw, I had to go and add a whole list of computers. I had to connect them to the DPM server. This can all be automated. As of very recently, as of literally the last 3 months, the product team with DPM has released an automated way of doing this. So you just use Config Manager and Ops Manager to automatically deploy agents and attach them to DPM servers. So what happens is you deploy the agents to your servers. The best way of doing this in a private cloud situation is to just include them with your server build. Important to note that It's only when the agent is connected to a DPM server that it requires a license. So you can have the agent software on there doing nothing and you don't have to worry about it. So when you're doing your private cloud deployment of a new VM, and then that agent connects, that's when you are considering your licensing. What happens is those agents are deployed. Operations Manager pulls a list of agents from Active Directory. It uses then a process to internally connect those agents with DPM servers in a load balanced way. So you just have your DPM array, and then all of those connections happen. It pushes it out to Config Manager, and all of that glue happens, and then those agents are automatically connected with DPM servers. Now, with DPM, you specify how you are going to protect data using a protection group. In this demo, I'm going to configure a protection group, add a server to it, and also show you the steps that you would go through normally in DPM to perform a recovery. So, first thing I'm doing here is provisioning storage. Now, what I'm doing is I'm creating a new protection group. This is going to be a protection group for servers. I specify the server that I want to protect. I specify the components on the server, the data sources that I want to protect. I specify the protection group name. I specify that I want to do short-term recovery. I specify my retention range for how long I want to keep data on the server. I specify what frequency I want to use for data synchronizations. It gives me an estimate of the amount of disk space needed. It says, okay, do you want to create a replica now? Do you want to run a consistency check? And a consistency check is just something that fixes it up if data becomes inconsistent. It's an automatic heal mechanism. So that is just protecting one server. And you can see that there's a fair number of steps involved in doing that, which is fine if you've only got a small number of servers to protect. Here I'm showing you a recovery. I select the item I want to recover. I choose where I want to recover it to. Your recovery destination does need to have a DPM agent installed on it. So here I'm just saying, look, recover to a local folder. Do I want to create a copy? Do I want to overwrite the original? Do I want to apply the original security settings? Do I want to apply the destination security settings? I get my summary and I click recover, and that recovery occurs. Now, again, that's all very nice, but it involves a fair amount of clicking. What I'm going to show you here is exactly the same thing, but with SQL Server, and the number of steps you have to take with SQL Server. And what this is building to is these are workloads I'm going to automate with Orchestrator. So you're seeing how to do it the traditional way first, and now you're going to see the way of doing it with automation. So here, I created that protection group in the last step. What I'm saying here is, okay, I want to protect SQL. Now, there's a great feature in DPM where I just say, do instance-level protection. And when I select the instance, every database that's added to that instance from now on will automatically be protected. So if you've got DBAs that are adding databases willy-nilly and they never tell you, so you're never actually going out and configuring protection for those databases, this takes care of that all for you. But again, it's a matter of going through and making sure that you select all of these items. So why automate disaster recovery? Well, who here has had to spend time out of office hours performing a data restoration that was relatively straightforward? It was just a matter of clicking the boxes, but you had to sit there because someone had to ride that horse, okay? There's a few of you that have done that. There's some of you who will not perform a data restoration out of office hours, I see. What if you could automate these processes so that they required a whole lot less clicking? By automating a process as much as possible, you minimise the chances that mistakes are made. Once you get it working properly, the process is simplified in all future cases. Who here has performed a restore and made a mistake in the way that they've performed the restore and had to go and do it again? Again, we've got some very nice, honest people in the audience. Everybody does it. You restore from the wrong point or something like that, and the first thing you hear about it is someone saying, this isn't the data I wanted restored. Another advantage is by automating a process, you don't need someone who's super smart to run it. You can get someone even who's on the help desk to run that restore. Or, in some cases, get the end user to do it. If you automate data protection and recovery, you can add those steps to existing orchestrator workflows or pump them into System Center Service Manager, but more on that later. Now, System Center Orchestrator is a rebadged product. It's currently known as Opala 6.3. And for those of you who are not familiar with Orchestrator, Orchestrator, through integration packs, allows you to use a drag and drop interface to configure automation. For example, using Configuration Manager integration pack, you can create collections, add computers to a collection, create advertisement, deploy software updates, advertise task sequence. Rather than going through the Config Manager interface, you just create a runbook, you run the runbook, and it does it all for you. There is an integration pack for every System Center product, and there's a lot of third-party integration packs. So while I'm talking specifically about Data Protection Manager in this session, there are other backup products that have other integration packs, and the same principles apply. You can build a runbook for those products and automate data protection of your private cloud workloads in that way. Or it's fairly easy to actually build your own integration pack as well. Integration packs you use to configure runbooks. Now, Orchestrator is what I call a white-collar IT product. Why? Because it assists you to create these automations. One customer told the Opalis team that if they got rid of Opalis, they would need to hire 5 people to do exactly the same job as this one person was able to do with Opalis. So Orchestrator is... The idea is to be at the top of the pyramid, not the guy getting fired because his job's been automated, but to be the guy or the girl who is actually creating the automation. You can't stop this efficiency coming in, but you can control who the person who is implementing the efficiency. And if you're the person who's making things more efficient, you're the one who's going to be kept around. There's more... In the history of Opalis, there are many, many, because originally it was a third-party product, and Microsoft's committed to making sure that all of the existing integration packs are going to be supported on new products. Let me just give you a quick overview of how an integration pack, what they look like. Okay, so what we have here, this is the Orchestrator Runbook console. These are the integration packs. So this is a System Center Config Manager one. You can see all of these items. Now, what you do is you have a workspace and you just drag these across, and you're going to see me do this throughout the talk. This is the System Center Service Manager ones. This is System Center Virtual Machine Manager. You can see Virtual Machine Manager is fairly comprehensive. These are only getting more comprehensive. Microsoft's updating these for the release of the 2012 products. And these are the DPM-related integration packs. So the DPM integration pack, as it exists at the moment, has a create recovery task item. All that does is starts a backup synchronization. Get data source gets a list of protected data sources on the server. Get DPM server capacity, find out how much storage capacity is left on that DPM server. You want to build that into runbooks so that if you're, for example, connecting a server to a particular DPM server, you want to make sure that that DPM server has the capacity to back up all of the data on that workload. Get a recovery point. List all of the existing recovery points. DPM can have up to 512 recovery points, so you want to make sure that you're restoring from the correct one. Protect the data source. Get something, and then make sure it's protected. Recover SharePoint. Recover SQL. Recover virtual machines. Coming up, we're going to see recover Exchange and recover more and more workloads, and they're very specific recovery workloads as opposed to automating other aspects of it. So the first thing you do when you install Orchestrator and you've got a DPM infrastructure is that you need to connect Orchestrator to DPM. All that that requires is that you open the runbook designer, and from the runbook designer, go in, this is just verifying that this is Orchestrator 2012 beta, You go into Orchestrator, you come over here, Data Protection Manager, click Add, specify the name of the Data Protection Manager server, then just give it the fully qualified domain name and the authentication credentials that are required to connect to the DPM server. This person needs to be a member of the DPM administrator's local group on the DPM server. Once you've done that, you can use that integration pack to automate your DPM. So, you saw me do SQL Server normally. What I'm going to show you now is how to use Orchestrator to automate the protection of any server and add that all data sources on that server to an existing protection group. So we created that protection group Omega before. So just verifying that we've got Omega and we've got that Exchange server in the Omega group. Okay, so we come across now and we're at the Orchestrator console. We create a new runbook. The runbooks are the things that execute within Orchestrator. The first thing I bring across is I bring across an initialize data item. That allows me to enter data into the runbook. The next thing I'm going to do is bring across three get data source items. This is what I use to extract data from the DPM server, because I need three data points to be able to get this to work. Now, in Orchestrator, you link things together, and data that comes from one item, it goes down across the flow, and it can use the other one. So using initialized data and connecting that to do the data source allows me to pump that data in. What I need to have as my parameters, the first one, I want the server name. The second one, I want the protection group that I want to add it to, because this is the only information I want to have when I'm automating this process. So what I do is I rename these items so that I actually understand what this runbook does. This first item is going to be get protection group. The second item is going to be get server. And the third item is going to be get server data sources. So what I come across and do now is I go to that get protection group item. And what that's going to do is it's going to contact the DPM server and determine the GUID of the protection group that I've configured. Now, this protection group defines what the particular backup SLA is actually going to be. So how often I'm backing up, how long I'm going to retain the data. So this runs a query, it takes the protection group name, it goes up to the DPM server and says, okay, what's the GUID of that? This next one says, okay, now what's the GUID of the server I want to protect? Because this is attached to DPM already. So what identifier does that have internally within DPM, given the server name that I've given? And the server name is just the NetBIOS name. Finally, what I do is I have a get data sources. And what that does is it makes DPM go out and discover all of the protectable items that are on that server, because I'm going to literally just iterate through them and add each of those items to the protection group. Once I've added those items to the protection group, what I'm going to do is I'm going to protect them, so they're added to the protection group, and then once I do that, I'm going to create a backup synchronization. Now this, when you're setting it up the first time, does seem to be a bit more work, but once it's set up, you don't ever have to do that again. You can also build new automations based on existing ones just by copying and pasting them into a new runbook. So this one is getting the protection group and adding it to the protection group. And then the final one is create a recovery point, which performs the initial synchronization. So I join that together and then configure this to create a recovery point on the DPM server for all of the data sources that have been detected on that server. Once that's done, in Orchestrator, you can test all of your runbooks using the Orchestrator runbook console. So I click Run. All I need to do now is enter the server name. In this case, I enter SQL. I enter the protection group. I say Omega. I click OK. The runbook starts to execute. And if I jump across to DPM, what I will see is that DPM is now automatically being populated by that entire workload. So we see here that it adds the SQL server, and it's just going through and it's detecting all of the databases on that server, and it automatically creates replicas of all of those databases, including a bare metal recovery and a system state. So when you are thinking about your private cloud, you've automatically deployed a new server, then you would call something like this to go through and automatically protect that server without having to worry about it. It's just part of your workflow in deploying that new workload. To give you another idea of how that works, now that we've built that runbook, there's an orchestrator web console. We can protect an Exchange server in exactly the same way. So that was a SQL server. What we do is we come across to this Silverlight application that runs on Orchestrator. We select the runbook we've created, automate protection, start runbook. Again, all I need to do now is just type in the server name. I say I want my Exchange server protected, and I want to add it to this protection group. You can build a very nice self-service portal to do all of this through Service Manager. The operation's completed successfully. We jump over to DPM, and what we see within DPM is that all of this, all the items on the Exchange server, all of the mailbox databases on that Exchange server are automatically added and now protected. So now that I've built that runbook, all I have to do is go name, protection group. Everything else is taken care of. No more click, 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 click. Okay, another thing when you're doing change requests, you want to do, before you go and change something, before you go into an update, who runs a backup? Who doesn't run a backup before they make it, they apply a bunch of updates? Very brave fellow. Through Orchestrator, you can automate your backup snaps so that someone simply has to say, I want this server snapped, or I want this database snapped. With Service Manager, you integrate that into your workflow, so that automatically, when someone puts a change request in for a database or something like that, a backup snap is automatically taken. So here we add our initialized data, because this is going to be where we put our input in. So in this case, I want the server name and then the data source name. So if you wanted to do a bare metal recovery, you would actually, you could even build a little web page that had I want a bare metal recovery snapshot. Here's get data source. So this is what we're going to use to build it. The first one is going to be server identifier. The next one is going to be get data source identifier. We link them all together as you do with Orchestrator. So we hook it into the DPM server, we say, okay, what I want to do is I want to subscribe to this data, I want to pull the server name from DPM and get the GUID that's associated with the server. Here I want to get the GUID that's associated with the data source. And this can be, of course, any data source that's protected on that server. The reason you have to specify the server name is obviously if you do bare metal recovery as just your own thing, you've got 100 different servers protected by DPM. You don't want to do a bare metal recovery or create a snap on all of them. Here, you're just putting in a filter so that only the item that you actually want to have snapped is going to be protected. And the last thing we drag across here is create recovery point. And all that does is it says, right, take a backup now so that we've got a point in time backup of that source. And we pull the data source ID from what we've specified we want to back up. So suddenly you go from having a whole process where you have to take a backup of something prior to or waiting for a backup to occur to being able to just initially run a backup of any particular data source, again, just by running the name of the data source that you want to back up. So that runs here, and then we show you in SQL. We can see that we said AdventureWorks. We jump across here to AdventureWorks, and of course AdventureWorks synchronizes. And now that we've built that runbook, we have a nice web-based console that we can run. So we just go to the orchestrator console. And from now on, if someone wants to snap a data source, all they do is they execute the runbook. And they can do that. Now, with something like snapping a data source, you don't have to worry so much about permissions. Why? Because all they're doing is they're creating a new backup point. So you can get anybody as a self-service. You don't need an approval on that. And here I've got AdventureWorks DW, because it doesn't matter if someone's backing something up more. I mean, obviously, if they're trying it 100 times, you probably might have more of an issue. But here what we've got is, again, we see that that database is automatically synchronised. So an up-to-date backup, someone can do the change. Now, what good is creating a backup if you don't have an automatic way of performing recovery? So in this case, what I'm going to do is show you the traditional way of performing a recovery of SQL. So we've got that AdventureWorks database. We choose the date that we want to restore from. We select recover. We select how we want to recover it. With DPM, you can recover a SQL database to its original instance. You can recover it to another instance, or you can extract it and put it in a folder. So here what I'm saying is put it into a network folder, specifying the folder, and what that'll do, it'll do the transaction log file and the database file, and it'll extract that automatically to the specified folder. So here I'm saying put it in C:\restore. We run that, the recovery occurs, and those database files come out. So that's fine, but that's fairly click intensive. What we want to do is we want to minimise that so that if someone wants to perform a restore of the database, say out to a file server location, they only have to put in the name of the server and the name of the database, and that restore will occur automatically. So we come across to Orchestrator, we specify what data sources we want to pull, and we use the recover SQL task, which is designed specifically for recovering SQL databases. So again, we get the server ID. In this case, we're getting the database ID. We get the list of available recovery points, and then we plug in what we want to do in terms of recovering that data. So again, server name, database name, server identifier. Database identifier. And once you start building these runbooks, they become very simple to do, and it all becomes very obvious. But you look for processes within your organisation that you can automate, and then you just use Orchestrator to automate them. And it works with private cloud because it plugs into everything system centric and can be called by anything. So again, it's a matter of automating processes so that you are minimising the amount of direct work that you need to do on a regular basis. Here we're getting the recovery point ID. Now you can select either the latest or you can actually generate a list so that someone can select from a drop-down what they actually want to do. But here I'm creating a runbook that all it's going to do is recover the latest. So someone's done a snap or they want to get a copy of the database as it exists now. They run that first runbook to create a snap. They run this second one to output it to a network folder. So we get the database ID. We get the recovery point ID. So I want this database, I want this recovery point, and I'm going to go and put it on that folder. So from now on, you've set something up. If you've got developers that come to you and say, oh, look, I want a copy of the database. Can you get me a copy of the database, the production database? You can just automate that process, or you can use permissions to determine who can recover that data. Now, the other thing you can do is, of course, recover it to the original instance. You don't give that to everybody, but it allows someone to come and automatically restore in a private cloud scenario a database to its original location if they manage to drop a table or something and it's not recoverable. Just make it recoverable very quickly because, again, if you can make that very self-service, that works with that strategy of sort of a minimum amount of work on your part. So here what we see is that that recovery occurs, we go into the file system, and then suddenly we've got our SQL Server database that we've recovered. So we've built that particular automation. Now that we've built that automation, all of the guts of that automation can be applied to something else. So let's say we take a backup of SharePoint. And SharePoint's the same in that within DPM, all you do is you say backup SharePoint, and then it goes and backs up all of those components of SharePoint. So here we've just said, okay, I want that particular SharePoint farm protected. I'm creating a new protection group for it. I specify how I'm going to do the protection on that. And now that SharePoint is actually protected, what I can do is I can then go back into Orchestrator and do a copy and paste and change that recover SQL task to be a recover SharePoint task. So the replica is being created there, so there's a nice backup of SharePoint. You can see now why I had to cut this, because obviously you're not going to backup SharePoint in 20 seconds. So I create a new runbook. I give it my name of Recover SharePoint. Then I simply select, copy and paste the original runbook. I'd remove that Recover SQL task. I drag this out just to make sure I can actually understand what's going on. Now, in this case, it's not going to be get database ID, but I can rename that on the runbook. It's not going to matter. And I drag across the Recover SharePoint task. Now, with the DPM 2012 IPs, you're going to see Recover Exchange, Recover Dynamics, and this exactly the same process is going to work. So here, Recover SharePoint. Now, in this case, again, I specify where I want to do it and how I want to do the recovery. And I just subscribe to the initial data that's being put into the runbook. So that's how easy. Once you've built a basic runbook, you can build on top of that very easily. You can automate your processes very simply. And that's done. Now, Orchestrator and Service Manager are designed to work together. And the reason that the way that... Was anybody here at the Service Manager talk yesterday? Okay, in the Service Manager talk, they took us through how you would add runbooks. Now, I'm not going to show you the entire process of adding it to Service Manager, but essentially, once you create a runbook, it hooks into that console, the web console, and anything that you create in Orchestrator can be called by Service Manager. So if you've got a job, you can automate the process of someone submitting something via the self-service portal. Say, submitting I want a backup snap of this taken via the self-service portal. Service Manager calls Orchestrator. Orchestrator calls DPM. DPM goes and backs up SQL. It all works together. This is just a picture of the Orchestrator console with those runbooks imported into it. Now, with DPM 2012, by leveraging the entire System Center suite, you can perform data center migration and failover. There was a big demonstration done at MMS where they actually built all of the components needed to back up one data private cloud and shunt it across to another private cloud. They go and took snaps of this, backed up this, extracted data out of this, worked out what applications were on it, and then just used that to jump through. And the way it worked, it used all components. It used Operations Manager as a traffic cop, so when Operations Manager would throw an alert, Orchestrator would react to that in a particular way depending on what the alert was thrown. So it is possible to migrate, perform a complete private cloud migration, you know, several hundred servers from one private cloud to another. You can put it in through Orchestrator. You just have to build it first. But the good thing about building it first is that you can make sure that you've got everything planned out before you hit that run button. Now, DPM 2012 will be coming out in beta very, very, very soon. Offers a centralized console, allows you to manage up to 100 DPM servers from one pane of glass. To put that in perspective, from one console, Microsoft can look after its entire backup and protection infrastructure. So that's an organisation with 150 to 200,000 people in it. Advanced workload protection. So we saw when I was talking about what DPM could back up, we saw that it was a lot of Microsoft products. From now on, anything that runs on Windows that has a VSS writer can be backed up as an individual application. So as long as it's got a VSS writer, DPM 20 to 12 will be able to go out and back that up as an individual application rather than just backing up the files and folders. It allows certificate-based authentication, so if it's backing up servers that are not joined to a domain, it's a lot easier to authenticate there. And optimised SharePoint item-level restore. At MMS, it was suggested that it's possible to do an individual item recovery from a 20-terabyte SharePoint farm with over 1 million objects in less than 3 minutes, and the thing that took the most time was actually finding the item to restore. It uses role-based access to control to make sure that only certain people can perform backups on certain objects, only certain people can perform recovery on certain objects, which is, again, very important for this self-service idea where someone owns an app, they own the machine it's on, allow them to backup and recover that as they need to. So, just to summarise, configure automation for all of the rapid self-service deployment of new servers and applications, and configure data protection as a part of your provisioning process. Allow self-service users to choose the level of protection that they want and then charge them appropriately. If someone wants to have 15-minute snaps and a long retention period, they can have up to 512 15-minute snaps, you charge them more than you charge someone who's happy to have a backup done once a day and only have 7 days' worth of backups done. With the next version of DPM and Orchestrator, you're going to see substantially enhanced integration packs. You can also convert any PowerShell command into an integration pack fairly simply. So if something has if there's a PowerShell command for something, you can turn it into an integration pack very simply. Now the session's coming to a close, and I give one last direction. While the cloud gives you redundancy, it's only part of data protection. If a mailbox database is corrupted or a user drops a table, if a software update is released that makes everything unstable, when servers start to break and when applications start to crack up, even with a private cloud, you need to restore from backup. In this TechEd session, you've learned about defending important data, how to automate protection and recovery with DPM and Orchestrator. My session has come to an end, and I leave you with a salutation. If you want to win cool prizes, please fill out an evaluation. And now that I am finished, there is just one more task. I'm happy to answer any questions you may ask.